John 11, verse 55, and verse 56. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves, as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Here are some Jews, and it is around the Passover time, and at the Passover time, being a feast of the Jews, many of the Jews come from various parts of the land and make their pilgrimage, and they come to the temple, they come to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is crowded with multitudes of Jews, not only from the country round about in Israel, but even from abroad, from further afield, multitudes to keep the Passover in Jerusalem and in the temple. And that's what is here. These Jews have come together, these particular Jews here. They've come from the country, and they are wanting to know if Jesus is coming to the feast. You see, they know about Jesus. They're from Judea, round about. They're from the hill country, various parts of Israel. And they're particularly interested in seeing Jesus. And they know that that's a good time to see him. He's maybe hard to find in the land. He travels about the land. If they want to see him in Galilee, they could go up there and make inquiry. But they still have to do a lot of searching, find where he is at that particular time. But if they go to Jerusalem, they know that the Lord comes to the feasts, and they'll find him there, they'll be sure to see him there. So here they are, they're come together, this body of Jews, into Jerusalem. They do in obedience to God at the Passover, but they're hopeful of seeing Jesus. They're in the right place, the temple. Doesn't the text say that? As they stood in the temple. And they're doing the right thing with regards to Jesus. What does it say there? They sought Jesus. They sought for Jesus. So they're doing the right thing with regards to Christ. They're in the right place. It's good to be in the right place. Whenever you want to seek for Jesus, you want to be in the right place to seek for him. That's a place of prayer. It's a place in the Word, around the Word. It's a place in God's house. That's a place where you'll find the Lord. So it's very important that when you're seeking Jesus, you do so in the right place. In the Scriptures, in the Bible, in the place of prayer, and in the house of God. So they're doing the right thing in the right place. They're seeking for the right person. They sought for Jesus. And as well as seeking for Jesus, it says that they spake among themselves, and they're talking to one another. And of course, the festivals were a time for that, time of communion. The time whenever all the people of God were coming together, and they could get up to date on the news from various parts of the country, and they could have fellowship. And it's good that God's people speak together. And as they seek Jesus together, that they also commune together with one another. And this is a feast season. We have the communion feast from time to time. And God's people are coming together. And they're talking together. What is a great theme of their talking? It's Christ, isn't it? We're talking about the Lord. What think ye? Will he not come to the feast? Do you think he'd come this time to the Passover? See, it's a difficult time. The opposition has grown very, very large. They know that there's a lot of people in Jerusalem who hate Jesus, who would seek the destruction of Jesus, and they're questioning the matter. Will he come? Maybe he'd think to stay away this time because it's so difficult, because it's so dangerous for him. Maybe he'd stay away. Will he come? Do you think he'll come? This is a good question that we have to ask at our communion seasons. Will he come? Will he be at the feast with us? So that's the main question that they have amongst themselves. Their great interest. You see, the feast will be in vain. Our coming together will be in vain unless he comes. Will he come? The effort that we've made in traveling from afar to come to Jerusalem, it'll all be disappointed and come to nothing. Unless he comes, will he come? And that's the question that we ask around the table. Will the Lord be here? What think ye? What do you think tonight? You know, we can survive the absence of many others. We miss others. We are not asking the question about others. There are others who are sick and not with us. There are some who are poorly and they're missing. And we miss them and would want them to be here. And there are others who maybe are careless and have no interest in being here. And they're all missed. But their absence does not remove the blessing of this feast. But the absence of Christ would, if he was missing. It wouldn't be the same. If the Lord was absent, it would be a wasted journey. If the Lord didn't come and appear, it would be a wasted hour. It would be all in vain. What's the Lord's Supper without the Lord? What think ye? Will he come? Will he be here? Can we be assured of his presence? Of course, the answer is yes. He will come. And in actual fact, he does come to the feast. And whenever we meet together, we also can have the assurance, yes, we think he will come. Yeah, we know he will come. He'll be here. And why can we have the assurance of the Lord's presence at his table? Because, first of all, he has promised to meet with his people and to be where his people are. And if we gather together in his name, he has promised to be with us. And he has said, in all places where I put my name, I will come to you and I will be with you and I'll bless you. And he's put his name here, hasn't he? It's the Lord's table. We meet in his name, even around his table, and he cannot miss. He cannot be absent because he has promised to be with us. And so we can have the assurance of the Lord's presence with us tonight because he has promised and he cannot lie. And so let us have the confidence that our Lord is here tonight by virtue of his promise. But then we can also be sure that he's here because, you see, it's his feast. It's his feast. It's not our feast. The church hasn't led it. The people of God haven't spread it out. It's not called in their name. It's his supper, his table. I mean, if the Lord was just a guest, we would know he'd be here. Because any invitation he received, he kept. He visited the homes of sinners. If he was invited, he came. We don't read that he turned down invitations. And so he would come even as a guest. But you see, he's not a guest. We're the guests. He's the host. He's the one who lays the table. He's the one who gives the table. He's the one who sets the table. He's the one who calls it his table, the Lord's table. He says, this do in remembrance of me. He has instituted it, and he is the host, and he invites us to come. He's going to turn up because he's the host, because he gives the invitation, because he spreads out his arms and says, come. It's not likely that he'll be absent. We're the ones who are likely to be absent for various reasons, through weakness, through powerlessness, through carelessness. But none of this affects Christ, the risen Lord and the ascended Redeemer, who invites us. He is here because it is his table. And he doesn't tell us to come and then not turn up himself. Will he lay all this out and not be here? Will he break his body, shed his blood, and not be here? Will he tell us to do this in remembrance of him and not be here? Child of God, you can be sure of finding Christ at his table. If there's one place in the world where you can be sure of the presence of Christ, it's here, at this table. You'll find him more here than you will at your own table at home. This is his table. He's sure to be here. How can God's people neglect his table? How can they not want to have the communion? It's even called the communion, because it's the place and the means whereby we have communion with Christ through his body and blood. It's even called that. And how can God's people not come? He's here. So he's sure to be here. There's no doubt about the matter. What think ye about this? Have you any doubt about it? Have you any question? You should not, child of God. And then we know that he will come because he delights to come. He desires to be here, for he likes the company of his people. I'm sure the Lord delights the company of the holy angels when they praise him, and of the church triumphant dwelling in the midst of them. I'm sure he delights in that. But he doesn't delight any less in his struggling, battling saints on earth below. Whenever they come to his table, he delights to be with them. He delights to come and visit them. Just like he came to the seven churches and appeared into the midst of the seven churches, we're sure that he'll be in the midst of us around his table, because he delights in us. We don't see what he delights about us, really. But in his sovereign grace, he has ordained it to delight in us. He dwells in the midst of his brethren. Remember how the Bible says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. It's as if Christ is in the midst of the church at his table, there with his brethren, and he's singing and praising with his brethren, and he's worshipping with his brethren in the midst of the church. He's declaring the Father's name unto the brethren. He's saying to the Father around his table, behold, I and my Father, all the children which you've given me. It's around the table he does that, because he delights to be here with his children. Children, have you any meat? Yes, Lord, we have the table that you laid for us. Are you here? Yes. We shouldn't even ask the question. The Lord is here because he delights to be here. Even the Pharisees knew it, that he eats and drinks with sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And we are sure that that just describes the Lord at his table. That's all we are, we're just sinners. But the Lord is here as we eat with him. So we know that he's here because he delights to be here. And then we know that he's here because he's always been here in the past. He never let us down. We've always had his presence. You see, that's the thing about these Jews here. They knew that it was his custom. They knew that he usually came. He always came. A wee question in their mind, because you see, it's persecuting times and the people are out to destroy him. So there's a wee question in his mind. Well, maybe he won't come this time because it's so difficult. But the difficulty never stops Christ to come amongst his people. Whatever stiffness of persecution is against them, it never stops Christ coming among his people. Didn't the psalmist, didn't the little sheep say, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies? The power in the presence of enemies doesn't stop it, you see. Christ is always here, no matter about the power and presence of enemies. And it shouldn't make us have any doubt about Christ being here at the feast because of the power and presence of enemies. This is why they were doubting. This is why they were shaking. Oh, will he come? Will he not come? No, even the power of enemies will not prevent him being with his people wherever they humbly meet around his table. He's always been here in the past. And if things get worse, as time goes on, he'll still be here. Because he's always here. And haven't you enjoyed his presence in the past? Haven't there been times when you've really met the Lord around this table? You've never been disappointed. Will tonight and all the other future occasions be any different? We can be sure that he never let us down, never disappointed. And then we can be sure that he'll be here because, you see, he always comes to where he is needed by his people. When he is sought by his people. When his people are standing together talking about him and seeking him and wanting him to appear at the feast, needing him to appear, he will surely come to that need. Did the Lord ever refuse the need of his people? Did the Lord ever disappoint his praying people? Did he ever fail to meet a presented need that was brought before him? We're here as needy sinners when we come to this table. We need his grace. We need his strengthening and empowerment that he gives to us for the week ahead and the time ahead. We need his forgiveness. We need his cleansing. We need the gift of eternal life. We need comfort. We need assurance. And that comfort and assurance we can be sure to get here at his table. So we come here seeking for him. Seeking for him to bless us. Seeking for him to give us his Spirit that we may be changed from glory to glory as we sit around his table. And we come here by faith, expecting it, anticipating it. And we know this. If he doesn't come, we'll not be blessed. And if he doesn't come here to us, where else can we expect him to come to us? This is a very special place for Jesus Christ. And it's a very special place for the people of God. And Christ and his body have communion. A true communion in this place. And that's why it is called the communion of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so, children of God, we shall not be disappointed. And the Lord won't let us down as we remember him around his table.